Welcome to Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm your host, Petya Kolibova, that love coach who helps corporate women who have been pushed down and back due to traumatic relationship or childhood trauma in their past, which has caused them to see themselves not in a bright light that makes them people please and not show up the way they know they are capable of showing up. My mission is to help women who are on the path to heal from their past wounds, move through their limiting beliefs and internal blocks so they can guide other women through online coaching, which is that deep down what they are feeling they really want to do instead of sitting in their corporate job. Each week, I will be offering an interview or an idea that will support you to leave behind what isn't serving you anymore and create a life filled with freedom, abundance, and purpose. No more hiding, no more waiting. The time to take care of yourself, to uplevel your life, is now. Hello, everyone. Super excited about today's episode of Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. As many of my guests, I connected with this beauty online, and sometimes you just want a little bit more than sharing comments and great DM messages. I really wanted to share her with you because as my tribe, I'm sure you would love her as much as I do. So for those who don't know my guest yet, you are for a treat. Kyle, she's absolutely incredible woman who not only she's focused on spirituality, body, but also mind. She is hosting her first retreat in Bali also next year. So for that, I know she's super, super excited. But what I love about her is how real she is, how raw she is, how she's always showing up, not only the bright light, high vibe and highlights of her life. She is sharing the real and rawness. What is she going through? What is she experiencing? And really bringing audience with her on this journey. So thank you so much for making this happen, even if we have technical difficulties today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to finally start getting connected with you and seeing your beautiful face more.
Thank you. And right before we started to recording, we were talking about something that I just mentioned. Sometimes when we go on social media, for those who already have their business or just starting to build it, most often what we see are the highlights, are the hashtags, right? Business boss babe and hashtag a laptop lifestyle and girls on the with a beautiful view or the beach or, this is my office view. Listen, I'm guilty of that, So
right. I did it too. Y'all are, I think.
Right? But the thing is that not everybody is sharing what's behind the scenes. Not everybody is sharing that there are moments when there is a darkness and when we feel like we want to give up. So I really wanted to take the little bit different look on the entrepreneurship, and I'm really excited to dive deep in with you on this topic.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here and talk about it because, again, social media shows the highlights of everyone's life. And for such a long time, I would have people always praise me and put me on a pedestal because of really just social media and how it paints this picture of a perfect life, but them not really knowing the things that I go through on the inside and by myself. And that made me realize that, I almost felt inauthentic. Yes, I do have an amazing life that is abundant and I'm grateful for it. But at the same time, I'm human and I have ups and downs. I do deal with depression. And although I am a mindset coach and I teach my clients this every single day, it is something that it is needed to be talked about and shared more often and more openly to create that space for people to understand that having a shitty day or dealing with depression isn't a bad thing. It's normal. It's human. And as long as we can understand this, accept it, and then work through it, that's how you get on the other side of depression. But so many people are so afraid to talk about it and they're ashamed of it. I mean, I was for such a long time. So that's really why I decided to start being more open about it.
Why do you feel that people are ashamed? And listen, I went through it too. You know, when I started my own business 4 or 5 years ago, everybody would think that everything is amazing in my life. Right. And then I come home and I'm alone and I'm like, well, you really don't know what's behind the scenes.
Right.
And people think like, well, what do you have to complain about? Right?
Right.
Why do you feel that people are ashamed to really share their feelings?
I think because in the moment, people feel very alone. And when I was very young, when my depression started and it kind of, it was triggered or really manifested itself in my body where I noticed it after a sexual assault when I was 13 years old. And I felt like the assault was my fault. And for many years, I didn't speak about it because I was so ashamed of it. And I was so afraid of what other people would think of me and not like have my back. They would actually like almost hate me for it. And so for so many years, I was so afraid to be open and share about it. But then the first time I did, it was in a girls group of some of my best friends that I went to high school with. And literally it was 10 girls. Every one of us shared a story similar to mine in some way, shape, or form. And it was like, obviously heartbreaking to know that all of my best friends have gone through something similar. But then also it was like, but you're not alone. And why were you so afraid to share this? Because you were so worried about what they, the same girls would think of you. And then when you finally open about it, you all have really gone through something so similar and you could have had each other's back and been each other's support system from day one.
Oh my gosh. I have like, I wish I could show you, but I have like goosebumps like all over my body because I'm like, oh my gosh, like how fascinating is that, that we are trying to protect ourselves, protect right. others. And when we finally like say, that's enough, I want to share, this is my truth, this is what weighs me down. We realize that we are not alone and we are like, why didn't I do this earlier? It would save me right. so much time and pain. And that's why I really love about you that you're sharing authentically your journey. What do you stand for? Who you are? Because I truly believe that when we share who we are, we give other people permission to do the same. Plus,
yes.
it's so much easier for people yes. to decide, is she for me or not? Right?
Yes. Yes, 1,000%. And it is like when you show up as all of who you are, flaws and all, you give people the opportunity to create a deeper connection with you. And that's a, the most beautiful thing about being a coach, and especially being a coach who does deal with the highs and the lows, is that my clients are my clients because they're trying to up-level their life, their mindset, their spirituality, their bodies. And if I don't relate with them, if I can't connect with them on that level that of what they're going through now, like how can I really serve them? How can I connect to that deeper level to up level them to where they actually want to be?
I love that because the thing is that I learned on my journey, it's people don't connect with perfect because perfect yes. is unattainable. Exactly. We connect with real and authentic and you know, it's scary, but once you do just a little thing, because here like recovering people pleaser, you know, like I would do anything and everything just so I can feel deserving of love. So right. I can feel worthy and the belonging. And then when you are like, listen, no matter how much I do, I'm not getting the same things back. What's going on? And you yeah. start to do, you're like, if I do it or if I don't, it's the same result.
Exactly.
So what if I would do me? What if just in one time I choose me? And it starts with like the little things. What am I expected to wear? What am I expected to do with my hair? How am I expected to look and talk and walk and listen to things?
Yeah.
Okay. What if every single day you would choose like a little rebel, you know, like one thing just for you? It feels so good, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not harming anyone, but it gives you more confidence.
Right.
And it's little by little that you start to feel more confident, more clear about who you really are. And you're like, screw it. Why I haven't done this before? Like, this feels so good. Right?
Exactly. You're standing up for yourself, but you're also standing up to yourself because you have to show like, look, like, you need to stand up, and you kind of have to, like, in a way, bully yourself. And I mean, bully in a nice way, where you're like, hey, this isn't working for you anymore. And you kind of have to, like, shake yourself a bit. And it is practice. I'm the same way, like, for such a long time. I would say this about myself, that I'm always wondering and worried about how my actions will affect somebody else, and overly worried about it, where, like, I'm constantly aware of, like, all of these people around me, and it's a lot to take on. And then it became to the point where I was not considering myself at all in any situation. I was always worried about how can I make somebody else happy, and it was exhausting. And then it made me become very introverted, because I was like, being out is too difficult because I don't have those boundaries to protect myself. And I'm constantly giving a little piece of me here and there. And now what do I have left for me?
Oh my gosh. So much truth to that, you know, because you are giving, giving, giving. And they're like, huh, I forgot to give myself. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. Let me ask you, for those who are still in the darkness, you know, who are still feeling isolated. And listen, when I was in my dark moments, I was just going through the motions. I just wanted to get through the day, get to the bed, stuff my face with the food, with the Netflix, and forget about the world. I wanted to tune out. How do you get out of that feeling of being a performer on the outside and then just dying inside when you're alone?
Really taking the time for yourself. Through my depression, I was in the deepest point of my depression, which actually happened earlier this year. I was going through a lot of life changes and a lot of personal changes within myself and a lot of self-realization. And I really needed to relearn myself and my needs, because I changed so much. I was showing up and trying to serve the old version of myself, which wasn't working anymore. And so I kept trying to do the things that the past me needed and wanted, and judging myself for what the current me needed and wanted. And so it was like this constant tug of war between the old me and the new me, and physically, mentally exhausting. So then all I did was sleep. Because it was like, well, I knew I wasn't honoring myself. And so for about 3 months, I literally would only wake up, serve my clients, which was, I felt imposter syndrome, because I was going through such a dark time that obviously I wasn't going to, like, unload that onto my clients. But also, like, I needed to do the inner work. So I was super depressed for a couple months. And then when I finally realized I can't keep doing this, this isn't working. So then that's when I started doing, like, heavy meditation. I live in San Diego, so I would go for walks on the beach, or there's beautiful mountains that overlook the city. So I'd, you know, go on hikes and prepare good, healthy foods that I enjoy. So not just a healthy meal to be healthy, a healthy meal that I love. And obviously spend time with people that I love. I totally got rid of, like, a lot of my old self, meaning I got rid of furniture and clothes and, like, things that just weren't serving me anymore. And I feel like part of the biggest transition from coming out of my depression was literally stripping away the old Kale, which did include material possessions, not just spiritual, mental old habits, but material items that I carried around with me. And I'm not talking about, like, Gucci handbags or anything. I'm literally talking about, like, old clothes that I used to wear that are no longer serving me. So it's creating clutter, which is, like, me carrying it on my back. Old furniture. I got rid of everything, basically. Like, I sold my whole life and I started over, and it felt good to just, like, purge. And that's what I needed. And I felt so fresh, so clear. And coming out of that depression, I had the most insight, not only within myself, but within my business and the people that I serve. And I was more comfortable talking about the depression too, because it revealed so much about me that needed to transition.
Oh my gosh. I'm, like, nodding my head here like a little donkey. Like, this is, like, so much truth to everything, you know, and thank you so much for sharing the actionable steps, like what people can really do. Because I remember I didn't want to be doing anything. I didn't want to get out of my bed, like, the most. And I was like, my proudest moments, it's when I went and get a shower. You know what I mean? When you brush your teeth, it's stuff like that, just the motion. And I truly believe in the flow of energy. And if you are cluttered with the things around you, you just can't breathe. Your creativity cannot come in. And I love this. And I don't think I ever heard it this way before. Like, really stripping your old self away. Because I was like, for example, when I started my own business 5 years ago, I was so stuck in that idea of like, oh my gosh, I built my business. Now it's, you know, you create 5-figure months. You're like, oh, I should be feeling happy and I'm miserable. Like, what's wrong with me? But it wasn't me, the new me. And I had such a hard time to let go. And when I was like, okay, like you, like this is not serving me. I let go of my business. I let go of my toxic relationship. I change everything and who I am. And you know, like, it's so funny because now, like, every Sunday or every other Sunday, we clear up space, like, you know, the old closet you never go through, your closet, you know, garage. And it's like gifting things and selling things. And it feels so good because we are so attached to the things. And I love that you were able to recognize that you can like relearn your needs. You're not meant to be always the same. We are growing. And when we look at the nature, it's either growing or dying. There is no in the middle, like there is no like, oh, I'm just chilling here. No. And human beings are the same way. And we just get so stubborn in being in a relationship, being in a job, being in a body, having everything the same, instead of like, hey, who am I now?
Exactly.
Oh, so good. So good. I love that.
Life is totally about evolution. And you should not be the same person that you were 5 or 10 years ago. Or even like when I think of the person who I was last year at this time, I was in a relationship that I knew I shouldn't have been in for as long as I was in that relationship. It was with a really good guy, but we just weren't a good match for each other. We both needed much different things. And we really tried for each other, but it wasn't our fit for each other, who we needed. I mean, we even went to counseling because it's like, you're such a good person, but like, you're not my person. Yeah. And, you know, it was difficult because he was probably one of the best partners that I ever had. But again, like, I felt like I wasn't giving myself the things that I needed, and I knew I wasn't giving him what he needed. So when we finally broke up, it was like the struggle of such a long time, like an agonizing breakup. Like, I don't want to do this, but I know I have to, but I don't want to, but I know I have to. And then finally, when I just like ripped the Band-Aid off, it was hard because we did love each other, and he didn't fully quite understand that although you love someone, you don't have to be with them. You can love them from a distance, root them on. And so it was really difficult because he was like, let's work this out. And I'm like, no, you need to find someone different. I need someone different. And that was like the beginning of my evolution. I felt like he was really holding me back from that. But then I had to work through my own BS too, coming away from that relationship and really facing myself. I felt like that relationship held me back from my evolution, knowing that, you know, we weren't the right match for each other. And although we were great people to each other, we just weren't a good match for one another.
I love that, you know, that you really sit down and look at what's working and what's not working, you know, because like I said, sometimes we just go through the motion and it just doesn't feel right. Like, it's the right thing. Listen, I went to the school, I get married, I'm happily divorced now. I did all the right things and it didn't feel right because it wasn't right for me. And I don't regret anything because everything taught me a little bit more about myself and about how I see the world. But you don't need to stay where you don't belong. And that's the thing, giving yourself the permission. So one last question. For people who are feeling alone, what would you tell them to do? What are the things they can really do to get over themselves, to really see the bigger picture?
I would say number one, honestly, listen to what you need in this moment. try as hard as you can to strip any judgment that you have away of your past self, of where you think you should be now. Honor what it is that you need in this moment. That would be number one. And then number two, gratitude journaling and meditation and affirmations are something I highly encourage with any morning routine. It sounds a lot, like my morning routine, when I tell people, like, oh my God, how long does that take you? Like 2 hours? I'm like, nope, like 20 minutes maybe. And it's a lot of stuff, but it's short stuff. It's quick stuff, but it's all working on right when you wake up, you read something positive that nourishes your soul. And then you do a little meditation, gratitude journaling, affirmations, and then just say what you're thankful for. Set the intention, the positive intention for the day. And it's like, what a beautiful way to start the day. It starts the day on the right foot. If, you know, you're going into a job that you hate, at least you go in grateful for the job and the income that you have. And really, it's just all about where your mind goes, your energy flows. So back in 2016, I actually went through another big bout of depression. And every single day, I started doing morning affirmations. And I ended up writing a book called The Power of One Positive Thought. And it's 365 morning affirmations. And it's just one quick sentence, a positive sentence that I would say out loud to myself 10 times or so every single day. And it was something different every day. And that, seriously, like within a matter of 2 weeks, maybe, I went from being severely depressed to feeling really high on top of the world. And I was like homeless at the time. And I didn't know what I was doing with my life. And I was like, I gave away part of my business and I was really depressed. And it was just like, I felt like everything was crumbling. But just that little glimmer of hope through that one little sentence of an affirmation every single day was really what got me through that depression. And so now it's a part of my morning routine.
Oh my gosh, that's so powerful, girl. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm full, like, there's no way that I'm skipping my morning routine. It's just like a part of me. I can never like do it. And it doesn't matter if I'm traveling, if you are like busy or doing different things, or you're traveling and there's like different time zones, I still do like, you know, 5-10 minutes. Something is better than nothing, because it really sets you up for success. And affirmations, right, it's what really got me through too, you know, Louise Hay and reading her books, listening to her, my inner child. She is the one who got me on the right path, really. I give her all the credit.
Yes. I will say too, like, I'm not a morning person, so some mornings, like, I literally will wake up and just enough time to get my face together to hop on a call. And if that's what happens, I don't just toss away the morning routine. Yes, I didn't start off the best way possible, but I don't just throw it out the window. I will end up doing it a little bit later in the day. So sometimes my morning routine is my lunch routine, but it still gets done and it really is fulfilling. And I feel like it transitions the tone for the day when you have that cornerstone of your whole day. It really like holds it all together.
Oh my gosh, absolutely true. And sometimes, like, the thing, like, morning routine can be 2 minutes. Sometimes you just wake up, what am I grateful for? Connect with your body and say to yourself, what am I excited about today? It's really just having that intention. So I love this and I really love your work. So for those who want to like go out there in the world and stalking you and find out about you, your book, I know that are you working, or you already published the second one?
I am still working on it. I've been working on it for a while. So after my last bout of depression, like, I had the book almost completely finished. It was probably 80% done. After my last bout of depression, I was reading through it again and I was like, this is the old me. I have to rewrite this. And it's a lot of great content, but I'm like, this serves the old me. So I'm like in the process of reworking it, taking some things out, adding some things to it. I'm debating whether I want to make it a workbook or not. So we'll see.
Evolution, girl. Evolution. Exactly. I love that. So what are the favorite places online that you love to hang out, and where can people go and see you?
Well, I mean, I love Instagram. It's easy to hop on there and see some inspiring people like yourself. That's where we met. Your beautiful smile drew me in, and I love your soul too. So it's such a great place to get connected with like-minded individuals. And I do probably spend more time on there than I should, but I'm on there a lot.
Listen, it's a time invested in business, right?
It is. Yes. YouTube is also another place, mostly for like meditations, and then I'll have it playing in the background. Sometimes I'll do just like a walking meditation when I'm at the beach or anything like that. I would say those are probably the two sites that I frequent the most.
Beautiful. So I'll make sure to include it in the show notes so people can have to see you. So thank you so much for your time and everything you're creating.
Thank you so much for having me on your show today.